Speak the Word Ministry wants to see God's Word reshape your reality. Join Pastor Joanne Ramsey on her television program, Make the Word Alive, now airing on the Christian Television Network. Embark on a journey of personal growth and spiritual renewal as Pastor Joe talks with special guests and delivers special messages that will help you better understand God's Word. Don't miss the Make the Word Alive TV program with Pastor Joanne Ramsey, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on CTN, the Christian Television Network.
The following program is brought to you by Speak the Word Ministries.
You know, the power is in the name of Jesus. The power is in His Word, brothers and sisters. That is where your power is. Jesus is the Word.
Speak the Word.
Welcome to Speak the Word with author, Bible teacher, and evangelist, Pastor Joanne Ramsey. Speak the Word Ministries is called to train up God's children to be soldiers of Jesus Christ.
Speak the Word.
We invite you to visit us online at speakthewordministry.net. That's speakthewordministry.net. And now, here's Pastor Joe with a message titled, Pause, Ponder, and Pray.
Speak the Word.
Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the heart and the mind. My prayer is that I'm going to say something that will encourage you to see things in a different light and shed some light on things that the enemy don't want you to know. There's so many things that Satan don't want you to know about. He don't want you to have the knowledge about certain things, you know. And Paul says in his word, he says he would have not, you know, God would have us not be ignorant. And he wasn't talking about you being stupid. He was talking about you for lack of knowledge. And this is what the Bible tells us in Hosea 4:6. It says that his people are perishing for lack of knowledge. And so I really think that we need to get more knowledge on the Word and what the Lord, you know, has in mind for us and what He has stored up for us. Have you ever given any thought to the fact that you think in two places? Did you know that you do think in two places? We do. Number one, you think in your mind. And number two, you think in your heart. And I want to give you just a few scriptures today. And I always recommend, because I am a teacher of the Word, and so therefore I do give a lot of scriptures. And basically I do that for several reasons. One, I want to teach God's Word and be accurate in it. And another is I want you to write the scriptures down so you can be like the Bereans in the book of Acts and you can go look the scriptures up for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. I want you to take God's word for it. It says in Luke chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, it says, the shepherds made known to everyone about Jesus, and they were astounded and marveled at what the shepherds had told them concerning the child Jesus. Verse 19 says, but Mary was keeping within herself all these things, all the sayings, weighing them and pondering them in her heart. And I might add, before she spoke. She was pondering these things and weighing them even before she spoke. Mary was weighing them. In Hebrews 4:12, in the New King James, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner. I read it again. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In Chapter 4, verse 21 through 23 in the Passion Bible, it says, fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your heart. And verse 23 it says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. He said, pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there, he said, flows the wellspring of life. And you know, there are some translations that will tell you the issues of life, but however, they are the same thing. The Young's literal translation, for instance, says, above every charge, keep the heart, for out of it are the outgoings of life. Charge or duty would mean basically above all tasks, keep your heart. Outgoings of life means just above everything else that you're doing. In other words, how we keep our hearts will dictate everything that pours out from our hearts and every action. I want you to think about this. Our hearts brothers and sisters, is going to dictate everything that pours out from our hearts, our every action, our every emotion, our every thought coming from the state of our hearts. Friends, my point is, our hearts can think, and it is so important to guard them. So we have to be so careful what we listen to and feed on. I've talked about this so much because I want you to understand that it's so important for you to pay attention to what you're listening to and what your eyes are seeing. I hear people say this, you know, well, I can watch this and I can listen to this and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me, but it does affect you. You may not be aware of it, but it affects your inner being. It affects your mind. It affects your heart. And it can cause stress, and it can tear down your immune system. All these things can affect you, and you might have something and have no idea how you got it, you know? And maybe that's one of the things that we can go back and check, you know? Who have we been listening to? What have we been watching? You know, it's just very important that we do this. I know, for instance, the Lord impressed upon me many years ago at the very beginning of my ministry, said, Joe, don't listen to the news. Don't read newspapers. He said, it's going to affect your ministry. It's going to affect your well-being. And I've been really faithful about this for many, many years, 25, 30 years, or I'd say 27, because last year I got caught up, you know, watching the election and stuff. And I had to admit that your stress level rises. And there was times when I really couldn't sleep well because of it. And last night, I made the mistake of watching some stuff on the YouTube, which is the same as the TV, you know. You have all these news things come up, and I happened to go across it. I was looking for this ministry, but when I look for that, then I have all these other things that pop up too, you know, all have to do with politics or et cetera. I sat there and watched it for a while, and then when I went to bed, I had trouble sleeping, you know. My arm started hurting, my left arm. Really started hurting really bad, and then my heart started acting up. And so I went and took an aspirin, and so I said, Lord, I repent. You know, I repent for watching the garbage, and I ask for your forgiveness. You know, I know better. I know better. But you know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we just continue to do things over and over and over again, even though we know it's not good for us or maybe good for our families or whatever. And that's some of the things that, you know, I wanted to talk about and explain to you, and some of the things I'm talking about today is because we're responsible for our temples. Our body is the temple of the living God, and we're responsible for it. We're responsible for doing what we need to do. And when we do what we need to do, then God is going to do what He does. But He can't do something since He gives us free will. God is not going to come down or have His angels to go into my living room and have me to turn it off. I have free will. So if I want to lay there and watch this, I can. I mean, I'm going to have to pay the consequences. It's sometimes that when we're eating or something or doing things like that, we know that I don't need that particular piece of pie or that extra piece of something. You know it's not good for you, but you want it, so you do it anyway, but then you got to pay for the consequences. I know sometimes my husband, he doesn't eat too many sweets, and every now and then we'll go out and we'll share a dessert or something, and maybe he'll eat more of it than he should. And the first thing he comes home and he says, I knew better than that. I knew better. I should not have had all that sugar before going to bed. And that's my point. And you're not the only one that's guilty. Like I said, I'm guilty too. I've done a lot of things over my lifetime that has damaged my body. I know, for instance, I smoked for many, many years, but I quit. I'm so thankful to God. At least, I think it's been at least 25 years ago. But you know, we need to guard our hearts and our minds, but especially our hearts. And whether we realize it or not, the things that we watch and the things that we listen to eventually gonna get down in our heart, and eventually they're gonna come out of our mouths. Those words, those thoughts are gonna come out of our mouths. And that's where the damage, that's where you can either do good or the damage is gonna come in. And that's what we're going to be talking about some today. And like I said, my point is that our hearts can think, and it's so important to guard them. So we have to be so careful, as I said before, what we listen to and what we feed on, because I just said it will end up in our hearts, and it will eventually come out of our mouths. And the things that you have stored up in your heart from the things that you watch or listen to will affect your finances and your health. It affected my health. You know, and it's done that before in the past, you know, where last year when I would watch something on the political field and think about that, and I'd just get nauseated, you know, and go have to take something to calm down. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, because you can watch stuff like that, whether it's the news or something else you watch, but especially the news. You can maybe go for a month or two and not watch it and go back and watch it. You really haven't missed anything. You know, they just put these things up there that the enemy does just to trick you and deceive you into thinking that you've got to go up there and click on so-and-so to watch it. But remember that Satan is very subtle, very, very subtle. He doesn't come at you with things that you're going to recognize right away as something that would be that would affect your body or your finances or something like that. He doesn't do that, because Satan is very subtle. I also want to talk to you about the medical science is just now beginning to understand. However, the Lord has revealed this to us in His Word. I mean, you know, medical science knows this, but God revealed it in His Word long before medical science had it. God knew this. This article was found in a recent medical report. I'm talking to you about this because I want you to understand the depth of your heart and all. It stated that when some transplant patients receive new hearts, their hearts, they discover that the previous owner has donated new eerie thoughts as well. After recovering from their operation, several patients started recounting incidents that occurred in their donors' lives. For instance, a 62-year-old man who liked classical music, after being given the heart of a teenage boy, he suddenly discovered that he liked rock music. Now, that's a switch. That's really a change. And a man who received a heart from a woman that was hit by a train had recurring dreams about train wrecks. And it says, after a young boy received his heart transplant, he awoke and told his mother, "Everything is copacetic in excellent order." His parents said, that's what that copacetic means. It means it is everything's okay. His parents said he had never used that word or phrase before. However, he learned later that the donor and his wife used it after they'd had an argument to reassure each other that everything was okay. And let me tell you why I'm telling you this. It's because our hearts can think. And as I said before, we don't only think with our minds, but we also think with our hearts. In other words, when you're faced with choices or decisions in your life, if you will just pause and think about it. And, you know, I know some of you that follow my teachings on the radio or on the TV or on YouTube or wherever know that my great-grandson had a heart transplant last year, and it made me think about that when I was working on this. But he was in the hospital in Texas Children's Hospital in Dallas for the first 8 months. And I believe he got his heart when he was 4 or 5 months old. And the little fellow has just gone through so much. But the look at him, I mean, he's just the happiest little fellow you ever saw. He's always got a smile on his face. He's just a real fighter, just a real warrior. He's doing great. He's back home. And now that the track's out, he's kind of learning to talk a little bit. You know, it's amazing how different things can affect your speech or, you know, in your heart. And he still has the feeding tube, and he's going to have to learn how to eat, you know. And you would think that would be such a simple thing to do. But the things that we do every day, brothers and sisters, that we take for granted, that other people don't take for granted, like my grandson Norman, he has trouble speaking, and he doesn't know what food tastes like because he's been fed on a feeding tube, you know, for 2.5 years. But soon he will know what it's about. You know, I don't know You know, you could think about it in your heart, you know, and not just your minds. I don't know about you, but I've been known to leap before I had a chance to think about it, and we all know how that turns out. If you've ever said to someone, this is what's on the top of my mind, in other words, it's on the top of my head, it just come off the top of my mind. Think about it. Wouldn't it be better to give someone an answer from the bottom of your heart instead of the top of your mind, your head? You know, I was thinking that, you know, how many times have you said something and regretted it? I think about the times that maybe I have spouted out without really giving it much thought or thinking about it, and then I regretted it later. And so I'd written down here, you know, how many times have you said something that you regretted and then later had to go back and apologize for and say, that's not what was in my heart. And friends, that's not what was in your heart. It was in your mind. You spoke from your mind. You spoke from the top of your head. You didn't speak with your heart. Remember what Jesus said. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, he says, the mouth speaks. So many times we say things from our minds and not from our hearts. When we accept Jesus as our Lord, he gave us a new heart. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, it says, I will give them one heart, a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and he will give them a heart of flesh more sensitive to God. Praise God. So we need to let our converted heart tell our renewing minds what to say. In other words, we need to pause and just think before you speak and ponder. Think about what you're going to say before you answer. As a matter of fact, have you ever finished someone's sentence before they finished? My point is, you may not have given much thought about this, but words, I won't say this so many times, but words cost, words hurt, and words last. And most important, words create. And I would like to touch on how you can create with those words, because your words are not just words. They're seed that is going to bring you a harvest. The Lord tells us that he has made us all overcomers and causes us to triumph. But we have to understand, I'm going to back up a little bit here. So many people, and I've been teaching on words for now for, gosh, almost 30 years. Because your words are not just words, friends, they're seed. And that is going to bring you a harvest. I've mentioned on this so many times. You know, the Lord tells us that he has made us all overcomers and causes us to triumph. In Revelation 12, verses 10 through 11, in the New Living Translation, it says, then I heard a loud shout across the heavens. It has come at last. Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. In verse 11 it says, and they defeated him. It's talking about the ones that he was accusing. He said, and they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be to God who always, I capitalize that, who always, not just sometimes or whenever, leads us in triumph in Christ. And friends, how do we do this? According to Revelation 12:11, we do this by our testimonies and through Jesus, who always causes us to triumph in our battles. So many people are under the false impression that once you accept Jesus as your Lord, that the fight is over. However, from my experience, and I'm sure from a lot of you that are listening out there today, from your experiences, that you have also found out too that the fight had just begun. I know that the enemy came after me immediately. After I became a Christian, he came after me big time. It seemed like, friends, that he came after me like with a vengeance, as most of you can testify to, because a lot of you are listening can have experienced the same thing and still do. You know, as a believer, you are going to get persecuted. You are going to get put down. You are going to be talked about. You are going to be laughed at. And the enemy is the one that is responsible for all of this, because it's the spirit of the enemy that's on the people that's doing what they do. And I might add, the devil has never ceased in his attempts to take me out. You know, I can remember back right before my husband that's deceased, and that was 23 years ago. I know that he had gotten up and gone to church that morning, and I wasn't feeling great. And so I just stayed in bed. And as I was laying there, I kind of dozed off. And a lot of people think, you know, would say, well, Joe, you know, Pastor, that's your imagination. No, it was not my imagination. If somebody's killing you and you're trying to kill you, it's not your imagination. But I was laying there, and all of a sudden, I could feel, you know, something choking me, you know, that was choking me. And I was trying to breathe, and I didn't know what to do. You know, and so I just began, all of a sudden, the name Jesus popped up in my mind, my spirit. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when I did that, it all left. It disappeared. You know, but you know, it wasn't, I called another sister about this a few minutes later, and she understood what I was talking about. She's not here anymore. She's gone home to be with the Lord. But she knew what I was talking about. But you know, it was shortly after that the enemy was trying to convince me that it was not reality, that it was my imagination. But I'm here to tell you today that it was not my imagination. It's not the first time that he's tried this. But we have to understand that God has given his angels charge over us. As a matter of fact, I think in Hebrews 1:14, he says, he has sent his angels as ministering spirits to minister to those who would be saints. And he also says in Psalms 91, I think in verse 11, I'm not sure, but I think it's 11, where he has given his angels charge to watch over us, to protect us. You know, so we have to understand that God has his angels standing by. If you're a born-again believer, you've got an entourage of angels standing by. There's angels standing by here this morning or this afternoon. I don't see them, but I know they're there. I know the Holy Spirit's here because I feel him. I don't think that he's ever tried to, he's ever ceased in trying to take you out either in some way or another. As I was just saying in Psalms 91:11, it says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. In Exodus 23:20 says, God will send an angel to guard us. So we have to know that God is watching over us, and he does have his angels encamped around and about us to watch over us.
Speak the word to your body. Speak the word to your mind. Speak the word to every circumstance that mountain can't stand.
You've been listening to author, Bible teacher, and evangelist, Pastor Joanne Ramsey on today's edition of Speak the Word. Speak the Word is a listener-supported ministry. Generous contributions from listeners like you enable us to continue bringing you this program each day. Learn how you can connect and support Speak the Word Ministries on the web at speakthewordministry.net. That's speakthewordministry.net. Pastor Joe will be right back in just a moment. But first, we're excited to tell you about Pastor Joe's new book titled, I Believe God, It Will Be Just As He Said. Friends, there's nothing more important than what you believe in your heart about God. No matter what circumstances may look like for you today, you can boldly declare like the Apostle Paul did, I believe God, it will be just as he said. Remember that God wants us to believe and speak his word, and the answer is in the word of God. Receive encouragement with Pastor Joanne Ramsey's new book, I Believe God. Just ask for a copy of I Believe God, It Will Be Just As He Said by Pastor Joanne Ramsey when you send a gift of any amount to Speak the Word Ministry. Here's how you can request your copy. Our ministry telephone number is 855-505-2297. That's 855-505-2297. Or you can order the book by sending a contribution in the mail to Speak the Word Ministry, Box 9175, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23450. You can also email Pastor Joe directly, Pastor Joe, that's J-O, at speakthewordministry.net. Again, that's Pastor Joe at speakthewordministry.net. And now, here's Pastor Joe with a closing prayer.
Lord, help us to fill our hearts with your word until they penetrate deep into our spirit. Help us to understand that the way we keep our hearts and guard them will dictate everything that pours out of them. It will affect every action, every emotion, and every thought coming from the state of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the wisdom to be careful what we listen to and what we feed on, for we'll end up in our hearts and we'll eventually come out of our mouths. And everything that comes out of our mouths will affect our health and our finances and even our relationships. And even though we may not have given it much thought, words cost and words can hurt and words last. Help us, God, to understand that when we accepted Jesus as our Lord, that He gave us a new heart. And He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I pray, Lord, that we will let our converted hearts tell our renewing minds what to say. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.
From Pastor Joe and all of us at Speak the Word Ministries, we're glad you've joined us today. Once again, thanks for listening. Join us next time on Speak the Word.
Speak the word to every circumstance. That mountain can't stand against the word of God. Against the word of God.
Speak the Word Ministry wants to see God's Word reshape your reality. Join Pastor Joanne Ramsey on her television program, Make the Word Alive, now airing on the Christian Television Network. Embark on a journey of personal growth and spiritual renewal as Pastor Joe talks with special guests and delivers special messages that will help you better understand God's Word. Don't miss the Make the Word Alive TV program with Pastor Joanne Ramsey, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on CTN, the Christian Television Network.